The reading comes from Mark chapter 10, starts at verse 35 through to 52, and actually covers two events. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "there is something we want you to do for us." "What is it?" Jesus asked them. They answered, "When you sit on your throne in your glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one on your right and one on your left." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way I must be baptized?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup I must drink and be baptized in the way I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and my left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them." When the other 10 disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that the men who are considered rulers of the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is among you. If one of you wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, he must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve, and to give his life to redeem many people." Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, take pity on me." Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted more loudly, "Son of David, take pity on me." Jesus stopped and called and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Get up, he is calling you." He threw off his cloak, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "Teacher," the blind man answered, "I want to see again." "Go," Jesus told him, "your faith has made you well." At once he was able to see and follow Jesus on the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we do want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for its wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes today to see your truths and your reality, to know all that you want to say to us, and help us to want to receive it willingly with open arms in the way that we heard Bartimaeus do today as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you a little bit about a lady called Ruth. Ruth went to visit a church about 10 miles from where she was brought up. She was nervous when she arrived. She'd never been there before, but she was quickly made to feel welcome. A few friendly people at the door introduced themselves, and they asked her name. "I'm Ruth," she replied. She began to feel a little more relaxed and at ease, and she went and sat down. And as she looked around the congregation, a lady caught her eye and came over. "I don't think you know me," she began, "but I think I know you. I'm Pam. I think I work with your mum. Are you Margaret's daughter?" At that moment, Ruth's heart sank. "Yes," she replied, "I'm Ruth." They chatted for a moment and the service began to start. And Ruth sat there wondering if she'd made the right decision to go to this particular church on this week. You see, Ruth had been brought up at a church where, in fact, her parents were very involved and her mum was a prominent figure. And in many ways, when Ruth went to church, she was only known through her mum. Now, recently, Ruth had felt that she wanted to explore the Christian faith herself. She wanted to decide what she thought about it, rather than relying on what her parents told her and on their faith. But more importantly to her, she wanted to be known for who she was, Ruth, rather than just being referred to as Margaret's daughter. Now, the initial welcome at the church was very positive, and of course this lady had no idea what she'd done. Ruth had felt genuinely welcome, but actually in only a few moments, she had become Margaret's daughter again. And Ruth was in two minds as the service began as to whether she really had done the right thing in going to that church. It was too late. She didn't want to walk out before things began, so she turned her attention to the service. I'll tell you a little bit more about Ruth in a moment. But first, let's go back to this encounter that Jesus had with Bartimaeus. There's so much that we can learn from this encounter. But the thing I particularly want to focus on first is on Bartimaeus himself. Bartimaeus, we heard, was blind. Because he was blind, he was unable to work. And because he was unable to work, he was forced to beg on the side of the street. When he heard that Jesus was approaching, he called out for Jesus to help him. And despite the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard his cry and called him over. Mark says this man, Bartimaeus, is the son of Timaeus. Now the term Bar actually meant son of. So this man's name could have been Bartimaeus, but it could also have been that he was just known as Bartimaeus. That as he sat there, people would say, "Oh, that's Timaeus's son," or "That's the blind son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus." Clearly, he wasn't very highly regarded. Did you notice how the crowd shouted him down? Perhaps they thought Jesus wouldn't have time to waste on someone like him. They didn't think he was worth knowing, so much so that they only knew him as someone else's son. But Jesus heard his cry for help. He stopped and he called him over. You see, to Jesus, we are never just somebody's son or daughter, somebody's wife or brother. To Jesus, we are never known just for the place that we're from. To Jesus, we're never known just for the job that we do. Jesus knows us for who we are. And he loves us for who we are. Let me tell you a bit more about what happened to Ruth. She sat through the service, still pondering the decision she'd made. She felt that she was always only ever referred to as Margaret's daughter. Now, she loved her mum. She had a great relationship with her. But deep down, she wanted to be recognised and valued in her own right. And then the preacher spoke. And the topic of the sermon was names. He reminded the congregation that Jesus knows us by name. And he cares for us as individuals. And that morning, Ruth heard the message that God had especially for her. That he knows her for who she is as Ruth. That he loves her. Ruth left that morning glad that she had been to that church and wanting to know even more about the God who knows and loves us for who we are. But I know Ruth is not the only one to feel that way. There are times for all of us when we can feel overlooked or shouted down by others. Maybe we feel like we're living constantly in the shadow of someone else. Perhaps we long for people to know us for who we really are, to see our potential rather than for someone to see us in relation to somebody else. Or maybe there are times when we feel misunderstood and like we have to try and be like someone else just to get ourselves noticed. This passage reminds us that Jesus sees us for who we are. He knows all about us. He never misunderstands us. He always values us and sees our potential. Jesus knows who you are and loves you completely. And he'll always hear our cry to him. Mark tells us that Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, and Jesus stopped and called him over. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied, "I want to see." You ever thought what a strange question that was that Jesus asked? Wasn't it obvious? But that question was really important. You see, not long before, Dennis read to us of another event that took place where Jesus had a conversation with two of his disciples, James and John. They approached Jesus with a question of their own. "Teacher," they said, "there is something we want you to do for us." When Jesus asked what they wanted, they replied they wanted to sit either side of Jesus when he reigned in God's kingdom. Now, how different was their request to that of the blind man? Unlike James and John, the request of Bartimaeus wasn't filled with ambition or eagerness for power. It was a simple request that his sight would be restored. Bartimaeus had so much confidence in Jesus that he had thrown off his cloak to go over and respond to his call. Now, his cloak wasn't just his cloak to keep his warm. His cloak would have been in front of him and it would have collected all the coins that had been begging that day. So as he threw away his cloak, he threw away the money that he'd received because he was so desperate to get to Jesus because Jesus had called him over. You see, Bartimaeus was blind, but through the eyes of faith, he saw so much more than other people who could actually see Jesus with their own eyes. Even before that moment that Jesus called him, Bartimaeus had demonstrated what he could see. "Jesus, Son of David," he cried out, "take pity on me." Now, this term, Son of David, was a familiar term to describe the Messiah, the one that the Jews were waiting to come and save Israel. As he cried out to Jesus, effectively, Bartimaeus was saying, "Jesus, you are the Messiah, and I know you can help me." Think for a moment about all the other people in that encounter, surrounding Jesus at that time. the disciples there following him, the crowds of people that were shouting out over Bartimaeus just so they could get a glimpse of Jesus. Did they see Jesus for who he was? The promised Messiah? Their saviour? It wouldn't be long before Jesus was arrested. And many of those so-called followers would then begin to show what they really thought of Jesus. Although he was blind, actually Bartimaeus could see what many of those around him couldn't see. He could see Jesus for who he truly was. And I think Bartimaeus gives us quite a challenge today. Let me ask you this morning, who do you see Jesus to be? Do you see him like Bartimaeus did? Is he the one who saves us? Is he the one that can change our lives? Is he Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Or do we sometimes become a little more like James and John? You see, Jesus isn't like a fairy godmother there to grant all our wishes. Following Jesus doesn't grant us special privileges or advantages, as James and John found out. In actual fact, following Jesus means we need to follow his example of servanthood. Yes, Jesus can and does restore sight, both physically and spiritually. Yes, Jesus is the best friend we can ever have, and he wants us to ask him for what we need, because he wants to continue his work of transformation within us. But above all, Jesus is the King we worship. He's the Lord we bow down to. He's the one we follow. He's the one we live to serve. No matter how long we've known Jesus, sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of who he really is. Is this Jesus, the Lord and Saviour, the King of Kings, the Jesus you know and love today? Jesus sees us for who we are. He loves us for who we are. And he is worthy of all our praise and worship. And in his love for us and the call he extends to us, he also sets us an example to follow. One of the things I love about this passage is that Jesus goes against all the crowd's expectations by hearing the call of a blind beggar and responding to meet his needs. The crowds shouted down Bartimaeus. The crowds told him to be quiet. But Jesus does the opposite. Not only did he hear Bartimaeus, but he called him over. And he healed him. As I was thinking about Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, and I was reflecting on how Jesus heard him in his time of need, I was challenged also to think about how we react to one another. Made me think, how well do we even really know each other here? How well do we really know our colleagues and our neighbours? Now, of course, I know that people will say, well, it's impossible to get to know everybody here, a church this size. And we all know, we all tend to sit in the same area. So if you sit on that side, you haven't got a clue who sits over that side. It's true. But that doesn't stop us getting to know some people really well. And the thing is, as Christians, sometimes we can be very good are being very superficial with each other. We ask how someone is, and we expect the answer to be fine. So much so that if the answer isn't actually fine, we might not even hear what's been said. Now, I heard a story of a lady who I think was probably a bit naughty, but she was so fed up of listening, by the fact no one listened to her, that when someone came up to her one Sunday at church, and said, how are you? She said something like, well, in the week an elephant stood on my foot and broke my toe, but it's okay because it's getting better. And the person who asked us, so expected the answer fine, they replied, oh, that's nice, dear. Now, hear this. I'm not proposing we test each other's listening skills. Don't go making up stories, especially about elephants. Don't try and trick each other. It's not a good plan. But I do think there are times when maybe we don't hear the cries of those in need, or even we don't want to hear the cries of those in need, like the crowds with Bartimaeus, and we can shut out their cries from our lives. Sometimes it's by not asking the questions. Sometimes it's by not hearing the answers. Sometimes it's choosing to ignore the pain that's really obvious, and so distancing ourselves from each other, keeping ourselves to ourselves rather than really being there for each other. Now, I know caring for each other isn't always easy. And I know, particularly when people are having a tough time, sometimes we don't know what to say or how to help someone. And in those moments, it can be easy, when we don't know how to respond, not to respond at all, and to just stay away and say nothing. This is a quite common reaction when people lose a loved one. People don't know what to say, so they say nothing at all. Believe me, in a time of loss or suffering, that's the last thing you need. And in my experience, actually, it's better to be honest and say, I'm sorry, I just don't know what to say, than to say nothing at all. Someone once said that the best way to find a loyal, trustworthy friend is to be one. And I encourage you this morning, rather than thinking, yeah, that's true, we don't care about each other the way we should, I expected someone to be there and they weren't there for me, instead to turn it round and to think, how well can I listen? How can I really hear what people are saying when I'm chatting to them? How can I be there for them in a way that I'd want them to be there for me? This morning, I want to remind you again that Jesus knows you for who you are. He welcomes you by name into his family because he loves you. He has the power to change every one of our lives, just as he did for Bartimaeus. But responding to his call also means following in the footsteps of the servant king. Jesus is our best friend, but he's also our Lord and Saviour, who gave his life to redeem us. And as his disciples, we too are called to hear the cries of those calling out to him, to show love and compassion the way that Jesus did, to respond to the way that Jesus leads us to, and to minister to others.